Spirit, take these words and speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
A number of years ago, I went to my high school reunion, and I was delighted to see a number of Kimball Knights there. I went to Kimball High School over in Oak Cliff in Dallas, and I was amazed that I was able to recognize a few people, but also amazed that I wasn't able to recognize a lot more people. And certainly I thought to myself, man, a lot of these people have gotten really old. And I didn't realize, but they probably looked at me the same way. Man, you've gotten really old as well. Have you ever had that chance where you've seen somebody your own age and you kind of thought, man, I hope I don't look that old? There was a lady that I heard about who went to a new dentist's office. She'd never been there before, and she was in the waiting room, and she said this. She said, I noticed his DDS diploma, which bore his full name. Suddenly I remembered that a tall, handsome, dark-haired boy with the same name had been in my high school class some 40-odd years ago. Could he be the same guy that I had a secret crush on way back then? Upon seeing him, however, I quickly disregarded any such thought. This balding, gray-haired man was deep with a deeply lined face was way, way too old to have been my classmate. Or could he? After he examined my teeth, I asked him if he had attended Morgan Park High School. Yes, yes I did. I'm a Morgan Mustang, he gleamed with pride. When did you graduate, I asked. He answered, in 1959. Why do you ask? You were in my class, I declared. He looked at me closely, and that ugly, old, wrinkled jerk asked, what did you teach? From the beginning of creation until the creation of man, the people have had an idea that there is someone behind all that we see around us, that there's an intelligence behind everything in this world. And certainly many people don't yet recognize that someone behind everything is Almighty God. The most plausible explanation for all that we see around us is that an intelligence of some sort caused all this to happen. We would still be in the dark if that someone had not revealed himself, if he just remained silent. But he chose to reveal himself, and he gave himself evidence of his existence through the intricacies and the complexities of creation that we see around us. He then chose to enter the realm of man by actually speaking to man, by having a conversation with human beings. God chose at various times in the past to express his reality by revealing himself by speaking to various human beings. He did so, of course, in the examples of Abraham, of Noah, of Moses, of David, and many of the prophets. Listen to how the writer of the Hebrews puts how God revealed himself to people. It says in chapter 1, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. We also see God going beyond simply an occasional act to display his reality by choosing to become a human being. He didn't come to this earth as a fully formed, fully mature human being. Instead, he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And as he was conceived in this miraculous fashion, we see that by being conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, we see the importance that he had, the preeminence that he had with God the Father. God's view of life of the unborn is seen in the first lesson that we read today from Jeremiah chapter 1. It says this, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. We human beings have a value and a worth that is given to us even from the womb. That's a far cry from what we have heard in the news recently, and where the politicians in the state of New York have passed legislation enabling the killing of unborn babies throughout all 9 months, right up until the moment of birth, actually. A full-term baby can thus be killed. This has got to break the heart of God. And certainly, life has become something that we can just throw away, it seems. According to the abortionists, the fetus isn't alive. But the question that needs to be asked is, if the fetus isn't alive, then why do we need to do an abortion? If the empty embryo isn't alive, then the question should be asked, is the embryo growing? And if it is growing, then it must be living. Each human being is a reflection of the reality of the existence of God. Because we all have a human spirit with which we are created, certainly a human spirit is a reflection of the image of God. The image of God is that we are spirit just as God is spirit. When Jesus left this earth, that doesn't mean that he took the existence of God with him and left no more evidence of God's existence. Instead, Jesus promised that he would never leave us. And he sent his Holy Spirit to be his representative, to remind us that the presence of God is still with us and still living inside of us. Certainly, as he sent the Holy Spirit, the reality of God is evident to those who have received his Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said this one time, I baptize you with water, but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And certainly we see on the day of Pentecost that the apostles and prophets, the apostles and other disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And it says that they all began to speak in other languages that they had not learned. And these other languages were recognized by people who had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. They were recognized as being their own language. And so these apostles and disciples who didn't know these other languages but were speaking them, were speaking in languages that people recognized. And certainly these languages were languages that the people of Jerusalem at that time that were in Jerusalem recognized. But on another occasion in the book of Acts, we see that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the Gentiles. And they began to speak in other tongues, other languages. But we don't hear any evidence, we don't see any evidence that the people recognized those languages that were being spoken by the Gentiles at that time. The gift became so prevalent in the early church that it soon began to be used in church services. Because it was such a confusing and a mysterious gift, Paul had to do some explaining about how to use this gift in the context of a church service. Turn, if you will, to our second lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's on page 1786 in the Pew Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And Paul is describing, as he has been for the last couple of chapters, things about the gifts of the Spirit. And as he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, he says, so it is with you, since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. So Paul is saying here that this gift of tongues is available to each Christian who has been filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. It can be used in a church service only when there is someone who has the gift of interpretation. Otherwise, nobody will understand your praises of God. He says this in verse 16. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who now is put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one is edified. In other words, when the church comes together, everything should be done to build up the church and the rest of the congregation, not to try to show how spiritual a person is or to draw attention to themselves. The apostle goes on to say in verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So if Paul, who says that he speaks in tongues more than everybody in the church, does not do so much in the church, then where does he do it? He does it in private, in his private prayer time. That's when he uses this particular gift. And certainly there are times when Paul didn't know how to pray. And so he called upon the Holy Spirit to help him to pray, and so that he could pray according to how the Holy Spirit would direct and guide him. He used this gift in a way to supplement his own prayers that he prayed in his own native language and with his understanding. As Christians, we all need the help of all the tools and the gifts that we can have available to us in order to effectively and regularly pray. If the gifts of the Spirit come from God, then wouldn't it make sense that those gifts come with a sense of the reality of God's presence within us? Do you want to have a greater sense of the presence of God in your life? Do you want to have a sense that there is a sense of divinity in terms of the human life, that human life has a value? Do you want to have a deeper sense of prayer in your life? Well, ask the Lord to fill you with His Holy Spirit and to give you the gifts that you need in order to actualize and make these things a reality. As we ask God to fill us with His Holy Spirit, we are really opening ourselves up to anything that God will want to give to us, not only to make our own spiritual lives more effective, but also to be able to help one another and to minister to one another in the context of the body of Christ. So God has given to each one of us as Christians gifts and talents and abilities to use for the building up of the church. And as we do so, then the church will become even more effective in terms of reaching its own members as well as reaching others outside of the walls of the church. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for giving us many different examples, many different evidences of your reality. We thank you that you have spoken to many people in the past, that you have revealed yourself through your Holy Spirit that you've given to Christians since the day of Pentecost. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to not only realize the importance of human life as you have given it to us, but to realize the value and the worth of human life. We also thank you, Lord, that you've given us the ability to pray and praise you in a way that is different from our normal way of doing so. Lord, would you help us to experience all that you would have to give to us through the gifts that you promised to give to us through your Holy Spirit. Lord, give us the ability to build up one another and to build up the church through the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask that you would fill us now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.